Sunday, July 5th, the third day of our vacation. We skipped church at St. Barnabas, sadly on my part, but it's hard to be 17 miles away by 9 o'clock in the morning. When I got up, I put on slacks and looked around for volunteers for a good long walk with me. Jean Eichard walked with me up past the Sudan and the cows and the tank and the beautiful view at the top of the pasture, and then on up to Jewel Malachek's house. Later on, we found out that it was 1 4/10 miles. We went in to visit with Jewel. On the way, we had seen her two boys in the field, and it a Sunday, helping Dale move pipe. She told us that 6 and 8 years old, they had spent the summer learning to drive the tractor, to pitch hay, to move the pipe. One of them had even turned down being a Little League baseball player in order to keep on helping his father. What a bucolic scene. A church with a spire in the valley far below, and the fields in between, with Sudan waving in the wind, or alfalfa just up, and somewhere the cows grazing, an occasional live oak tree, and finally the white nest of houses of the LBJ Ranch. Jean and I went back by car and flew to the Lewis with Lyndon and Jesse and the Thornberries and Frank, and there we met A.W., got in two cars, and drove over the Lewis and the Logan. Everywhere the land cried out for rain. It's been pretty well cleared, bulldozed, wonderful roads built round and round the sides of the hills, very scenic. But it hasn't haired over, as A.W. would say, and the streams where we got stuck in May no longer have water in them. Finally, Jean and Eloise and I went back to the house and shared the two cold drinks left in the refrigerator. There were no figs, ripe, that is, plenty of figs, but months before they'll ripen, and much mint, and a delightful yard full of native things that I don't know much about. Retama, mountain laurel, cactus and rocks out front in a most artistic display. And then we went back in a helicopter to the ranch for a big Mexican lunch. My Romanesque self-indulgence and all the enchilada I wanted. And then a nap. What could be more idyllic? About 4 o'clock, we all got up and went down to Melvin Winter's by helicopter. A.W. met us there in the boat, but alas, he was accompanied by any amount of press and tourists. The lake was full, alive with people to see our departure. So we sat on Melvin's front porch and dispatched Mary Ellen and Nita and A.W. and a couple of more by the boat, while we, quietly and later, went down to the Coca-Cola Ranch with the Eichards and the Thornberries. This being the busiest Sunday of the year on the lake, it was mighty hard to be us and be inconspicuous. And it finally turned into a game of cops and robbers. At one point, Homer looked up at me quizzically and said, "Are we the good guys or the bad guys?" After sending out scouts to survey the scene and see that nobody was approaching, we finally got on the boat at the Coca-Cola Ranch and rode for a pleasant half hour. But suddenly, smoke came billowing out of the bottom of the boat. We grabbed off the hatch, couldn't figure what it was. Somebody suggested that we get off and quick. So the Thornberries and the Eichards got off in one boat, the Secret Service boat, I think, and Lyndon and I into Melvin's boat, which had been following us, with A.W. to drive, leaving only a skeleton crew on the big boat. I think it was Paul and one or two more. Melvin's boat was so slow that we got another Secret Service boat to drive alongside, and I transferred over to it with Jerry, and we drove along, finally arriving back at the Winter's Lake House just at sunset, where we spent the rest of the evening happily enjoying the bucolic view, the big sky, the calm pool, the lake with its picturesque limestone bluffs, the katydids making the music of summer. I went out and lay on the grass and looked up at the sky. There's nothing like the feel of the earth under you, and wondered how I could ever have been sorry that Melvin sold his other house, charming as it was, when we'd first arrived there, All of his grandchildren had been in evidence, about 7 of them. 6 boys and 1 girl. Now they were all gone. But dear, hospitable Melvin and Nita had gone out and gotten some barbecue and insisted that we stay for dinner, and it only took the asking. The quiet stillness of a summer twilight in Texas on the lake has no equal, and I enjoyed it as some might enjoy cocaine, or liquor, or love. The Thornberrys and the Ackards left to drive back into Austin. And finally, after a delightful and completely unbridled dinner, Lyndon and I got in with A.W. and Mary Ellen and Jesse and drove to their home and then helicoptered to the ranch. So ended the third perfect day. Linda Bird had gone to church in Fredericksburg, the Catholic church, with Dave, and then had driven him around the ranch, following us part of the time. Later on, I saw that her trip to the church was duly recorded in the press, and then she'd gone over to San Antonio to see our sweet Warrie Lynn.